There are certain individuals in the Bible that you can say that a very high percentage of people in Northern Ireland will have heard of them. If you think of Paul, you have even heard it on TV, on movies. You've heard people talk about a Damascus Road experience. Some have heard of Paul. Many have heard of some of people like Noah and others in the Bible. But I'm drawing your attention this morning to one who's only mentioned once in all of the Bible. And folks, I'm doing that for a reason. We're coming out of this pandemic now, and I want every single one of you, whatever age you are and however it has been with you, not only to enjoy the Lord, and certainly we want that, all of us, but to feel that you are useful and that there's something very meaningful that you can do for the Lord. And when you do that, it will bring gladness to your heart. It will bring reward to your life. Maybe not in a material or monetary sense in a way, but you will know that the Lord is honoring you in a way that he will bless you in your own soul for doing something for him. Now, the person that I'm talking about here is mentioned in verse 16. He's called Nason of Cyprus. You not read anything else about him apart from what that you find here. And folks, as we come to the Word of God this morning, we all, of course, agree and remember that the Bible is an inspired book. There's nothing put in there just to fill out a few lines, but rather it is there for a reason. And the Scriptures are there specifically for the spiritual benefit of all who read the Bible. And therefore, all of us today can benefit as we do this man. It would now even ask the Lord to speak to your heart and to help you. This man, Nason, although he came from Cyprus, he lived near to Jerusalem, and he's mentioned here as one who was an old disciple. Now, that does not in any way take away from the usefulness of this man, but it simply indicates to us that he was possibly one of the earlier converts of the church around that area. A man who had been saved, but this verse shows us that he was given to hospitality, because as Paul moved on, in many ways toward the end of his life, he was coming into contact with this man, Nason. Paul was going to Jerusalem, and Nason opened his home to him. And as I said, verse 16 shows us a little bit about him. It shows us his name, where he come from, that he wasn't young, and that he tried to do something for the Lord. And I want this morning to speak of this concerning this man, and I trust what I say will encourage you. I don't know how many believers I've spoken to in my life, and they have spoken of what they call wasted years. I felt in their own heart that they just drifted along and did nothing. This man was not an evangelist or minister. He was not an elder. But rather, he was a kind man. And God the Holy Spirit, excuse me, saw what he did as so significant that for all time it is recorded in the Bible. And all down through the years, I have no question about it, that there are many people who look upon themselves as those who cannot do certain things. And they've seen him, and it's encouraged them and prompted them to do what they could. On this morning, to give a title to the message, reflecting upon a very useful, rewarding life. Reflecting upon a very useful, rewarding life. I want you to notice, first of all, concerning this man, there was his important standing. Because it says here that Nason was a disciple. He was a Christian. He's one who trusted the Lord, was saved by grace and redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word disciple, in its strictest sense, refers to one who sits and learns at the feet of another. In Paul's day, that was done when there were certain teachers. The students would very often have sat at their feet and listened there. But some were, and every Christian is a disciple of the Lord. And when you come to your time of prayer at home or here in church, and you come to listen to preaching, in every respect, you're sitting at the feet of the Lord. Because you are a disciple. Disciple simply meaning a disciplined one. And here's a man who not only was saved, but he accepted the authority of Christ in his life. He was in a good place, we believe, to do what he could for the Lord. In fact, as I will draw out, hopefully later on in the message, he was a man who displayed considerable courage in what he did, doing it at this time in the life of the Apostle Paul. So we're looking here at his very important standing. He was a disciple, and bearing that in mind, I want to look with you at being a disciple just now, and just draw to your attention a few thoughts. I want to think first of all here of the priority of being a disciple. Maybe you would look with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke's Gospel 14, verse 25. You see there. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Now, I want to stop there just and clarify what the verse here is saying. And it's not saying that you hate your wife or you hate your children. It all looks, if you take it to mean that, then you're totally misreading what the Bible is teaching. Now, I know there is at least one sect, and they take it literally, and they fall out with all of their family and everyone belonged to them, and they take it that they are to disown them altogether. It leaves family heartbroken. That's not what it's saying. The verse here simply means, and in fact it's clarifying in the next verse where it says, And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And if the man and woman comes and trusts the Lord and goes on with him, then all of those who are mentioned, they would benefit. The family will benefit from all of that, because really what the verses are teaching are that the Lord has to come first. He has to be first in our lives. And that does not mean, right, I can't do it. You think, well, I can't do that. I love my children so much. Of course you do. The Lord knows that. The Lord is not unreasonable. Folks, isn't it easy just to, for the Lord to be there and to know that we serve him and worship him, but for him not to be a priority, really? I spoke to a man 3 or 4 years ago, and he said to me, you know, there's one thing that has troubled me. He wasn't in this part of the world, but he says that though I am saved, he said, there's certain things I've done, and it has really cast doubt into my mind whether I'm saved or not. And he said, I'll not tell you the details, but he simply was not doing what the verse here says. He wasn't taking being a Christian very seriously. He didn't see that it was a priority to love the Lord with all of his heart. Last Sunday evening, when Mr. Murray was dedicating Davy Murray, he did say, in the course of what he said to those he was speaking to love the Lord with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And if that is the case, then there will be a bearing of our cross and coming after him. That may mean saying farewell to some worldly activities and coming after him. But I want to say this, the world will expect that from you. They will expect you to be different. So this man, as a disciple, this man, Nason, The Lord Jesus was a priority in his life. But and he ought to be in our life as well. But there's another thought associated with being a disciple, and it is fruitfulness. Again, this is where some people stumble a little bit. They think, well, you know, what have I done? Well, let's look here in John 8 and verse 31. John 8, verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Then are ye my disciples indeed. There was this fruitfulness, not from saying, I was the woman who brought 50 people to the meetings over a period of years and all got saved. I was the man who, on the mission field, saw hundreds won to Christ. Fruitfulness, there, here's the fruitfulness. Continuing in my word. And I think that's brought out very clearly in the experience of Joshua. You needn't worry about turning to it the second time, folks. Well, I turned to Joshua chapter 1. And as we mentioned on other occasions, Joshua was now going to be leader and lead the children of Israel right into Canaan. As has been often said, I think it was John Wesley said it, that God buries his workmen, but he carries on his work. Probably thought they couldn't do without Moses, but they did the very well without Moses. The Lord raised up Joshua. And Joshua is afraid. He's not feeling very courageous. He's downcast as he looks at himself. But if you look here at what it says in verse 8 of Joshua 1, "This book of the law," in other words, the word of God, what he had, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You can read the previous verse, verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left." And you know something, folks? Joshua did that. Joshua heeded the instruction from the Lord. And all through his journeying with Joshua to the promised land, there was that fruitfulness there because he sought to obey the word of the Lord. And that's what it means in being fruitful, continuing in the word. Folks, we need to continue in the word. Try to instill that truth into the hearts of boys and girls. So a disciple is one, and his priority is to put Christ first. Of course, you love your family, and you have a responsibility to do that. You love them, and sometimes the world will seem to come in there and have us not love them, but we need to love them, decide to love them. Priority to love Christ first, fruitfulness, continuing in the word. But a disciple, one who's a visible one, they have to be a submissive person, or a man or woman with a teachable spirit, if you want to put it that way. If I look at what it says in Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 16, Matthew 16, and verse 24, the Lord here speaking to his disciples. In Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." That is a hard thing to do. Again, it takes discipline. "Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." So you can see here they've been willing to bear a cross, continuing in the word, and denying self at all times, in with being submissive to the Lord. Think of those who are on the field today. In fact, in the Lord's work anywhere, but you think of those specifically on the field, they had to deny themselves totally. I remember as a young Christian always being admiring Margaret Russell, who was trained as a specialist nurse and had potentially a very, very rewarding career ahead of her. Now, being a nurse, And doing that as unto the Lord is a powerful thing. But the Lord spoke to her about Kenya when nothing was eating. In fact, I remember her coming to the deputation meetings in Dungannon when I was a young Christian, come home, and she seemed so disappointed. She said to us, I remember one occasion, she said, we thought by now that the churches would have had registration, and they weren't. They are now. They have been since, but they weren't then, and it was really, really hard. And loads of discouragement. But Margaret Russell, I always admire her because she gave it all up to go and follow the Lord. She denied herself to go and follow the Lord. I know she's retired now, which is always an inspiration to anyone who has an interest in the work of the Lord. And we can ask the Lord to help us to be submissive. He might not call us all out to be missionaries. He may call some. But he'll give us something to do. Remember, we're looking here at Nason, who, what's recorded about him, we'll look at that in a moment. He was a man who was hospitable and kind. And there's certainly something for us to do. So, disciple, Christ is a priority. Fruitfulness is there when we continue in the Word, obeying it, listening to it, reading it, following the Lord. Submissiveness is something that we need to deal with every day. But did you ever think of a disciple as one who asks the Lord? Let's look at John 15 and the verse 8. It says in that verse, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." You see him drawing your attention to verses to do with being a disciple. But look at verse 7, which verse 8 talks about. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now that is an amazing verse, a great promise from the Lord. And you and I, we've came to the Lord many times with many, many needs. Sometimes we got what we wanted, other times we did not. But we know that when we ask, then at least we've left it in the Lord's hands. I can't remember where I read this, but someone put it this way. They said, when I learn to leave everything in God's hands, sooner or later I saw God's hand in everything. When I learn to leave everything in God's hands, sooner or later, I've seen God's hand in everything. So folks, as we pray on, very encouraged on Wednesday night, really encouraged this morning that maybe, and I know that many of you pray at home as well, pray on and ask. And remember that at least you're giving the whole work, your own life, your loved ones, you're placing it into the hand of the Lord. And that's what, this is what Nason was. He was a disciple, that's what you are. That's what you are as a disciple. One who loves the Lord, one who loves his word, one who wants to be submissive to him, and one who asks him in prayer. Not all easy. But we're onward Christian soldiers, the Bible said, marching us toward, looking unto Jesus. He'll be your helper. You're not by yourself today. So we think here of Nason, this man, we're reflecting upon a very useful and rewarding life. There was his very important standing. He was a disciple of the Lord. But I want to mention to you secondly here that Nason, the disciple, he found his niche. Now look at what he did. It says he was an old disciple with whom we should lodge. The world might look at that and think, well, you could stay anywhere. What this man did was extremely small and very insignificant. Well, the truth is this, and I mentioned this earlier on, Nason's service was so important that the one who gave us the Bible, that is God in heaven, he has Nason's activity recorded here for you and I. As I said, he wasn't a preacher. He was not a missionary. But he was a man who was there at the right time. And he's mentioned here in the Bible to draw our attention to a man who found his niche. And I want to encourage every one of you today. I know that there are some people in church here, and some people have loads of ability to do lots of things. Other people have some abilities to do some things, but everybody is able to do something. And there's a niche for you. Maybe you're looking for it, you just don't know what to do. Well, there's a niche, there's something in God's work for you. And folks, you don't need to be a dean of the Whitfield College. You don't need to be a person who is important in the eyes of the world. You need to be willing. Willing. Perth and I will never forget, in Dungannon, there was one of the elders there, and he was called Ernie Stewart. And Ernie was, just to be honest with you, Ernie was a legend in Dungannon. Very quiet man. He didn't go. He wasn't looking for eldership. But the people wanted him. And he was the elder. And people, when I went into Whitfield College of the Bible, who met me, they said, "Oh, isn't that the church where there's that man in the door who you've always shaking your hand and makes you very welcome?" And I said, "That's him. That's Ernie. Great fella." What are the things Ernie couldn't do? And whenever he was talking to me and any other man, he always, if you asked him where would I get a hymn book here, Ernie, he said, "Oh, it's over there, you manion." Or, you know, "I'll see you the night, you manion." That's the way he talked to me. Man, brilliant out of his jaw. He found his niche. A lot of things he couldn't do. In fact, the last at least 2 or 3 years of his life, Ernie was having problems with his heart about once every 4 or 5 weeks. Kept on doing it. While he could, he was on the door. And that's a long time now for Ernie when to be with the Lord. And you know, he still missed. He found his niche. And I call up to you today to have you think of it this way. There is something that you can do for the Lord. Glad to be associated in the congregation with people here who do want to do something for the Lord. There's a niche for you. Niche for you today. If you look there in what it says in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, it says there, distributing to the necessity of all saints, given to hospitality. Now, here are instructions generally to Christians, given to hospitality. I'm not suggesting that you have to bring everybody or anybody just into your house because I said that. But the thought here is of social interaction. Social interaction. And I know that some people are shy, and that's, of course, that is a natural thing. But in some degree or another, we should have an interest in being in the company of other Christians. We're hoping with our friends and with our parents' night in 2 weeks' time, and then 2 weeks after that, our friends and family night, and then on our youth rally, we're hoping in all of those occasions to have supper for everybody here and for people to hang around and talk and to benefit from what we've read about here being given to hospitality. I've said at any youth rally that we've had here to the young people, you don't rush away tonight. We appreciate you coming from all over Northern Ireland to here. And you stay here as long as you like and fellowship together. And we'll be saying that again in May. And we feel that it's the least that we can do. Show some hospitality to them. And folks, there's nothing like the fellowship. Remember Lydia over there in the book of Acts 16, whenever she was a very good living woman, and she was down praying at the riverside, and when the Lord opened her heart, and then she realized she needed to be saved, and the Lord saved her. But right away she brought Paul and his associates into her house for hospitality. If you read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, one of the qualifications for an elder is to be a man given to hospitality. Again, that does not mean that any of our elders here have to have everybody around the house, but to have an interest in other people. You see, this man found his niche, and in some ways, the niche that he found was a niche for all of us. Remember who he was associating himself with? The Apostle Paul was a man who, yes, he was a good preacher, and some people loved him. Not those who we read about in chapter 20 of Acts, they loved him, but there's plenty of people absolutely detested him. They hated him. So we're going to move on here, and I trust that you'll find your niche. There's plenty of 2022 left. And ask the Lord for a niche. If you're thinking about something, sure, talk to me or some of the elders about it, and we'll certainly be interested. And I just want to say, when I am here, maybe you're not a communicant member, but you would like to be, and you'd like to be fully involved in the work, and you feel there's something they can do, sure, talk to us about that too, and we'd be glad to talk with you. So we move on here, and he's saying that in his niche, Nathan inevitably learned to lean. He learned to lean upon the Lord, having anything to do with the Apostle Paul at this time, as he was now going to Jerusalem. Having anything to do with him was very, very dangerous indeed. And here he was, not a young man anymore. But he was thinking, well, this is something that I can do, and I'm going to do it for the Lord. It doesn't really matter whether everybody likes it or not. Because you see there that with whom we should lodge. He was a man. His niche was one of hospitality and making people feel welcome. And now he was doing it in a very dangerous situation. Inevitably he was looking to the Lord. Because he would be standing out, and he would be seen by those who were not friends of the Apostle Paul. And folks, whatever you're trying to do for the Lord, whether it's a person like me who preaches, and then some people here preach occasionally, or you're doing anything else in the Lord, we have to learn to lean. The hymn says, learning to lean upon Jesus, and literally, meaning that we do our utmost, our very best, and then we must leave the rest with him. Speak to any of our missionaries. They've all proved probably a lot more than most of us at home here that you need to learn to lean. Serving the Lord is not always a popular thing. Young people, maybe some of you are thinking of moving to a different place of education and after the summer, or a different place of employment. Remember this. Being a believer might not be a popular thing where you go. It may be. Yes, you may have a very nice personality and be very nice to people, but most of you have experienced this, and I would be the older young people, that sometimes the language that you hear will cause you to be stupid, mate. So bad. And the other activities. Over there in the book of Acts chapter 7, Acts 7, verse 55. Anything you read about Stephen in the Bible shows us that he was a good person. I'm not bothered what his personality was like. It doesn't bother me. I haven't heard the Lord saying, I don't like his personality, so I didn't use him. His personality that matters. I don't really know a lot about his personality, but I know that he was a godly man. And he was an earnest man and a sincere man. And now in verse 51, he's at the crossroads. Here there are backtracks on everything he believes. And comes out with some kind of wishy-washy speech in order to save his own skin. Or else he's faithful to the Lord. And you read the verses yourself. There he begins. As he meant to continue, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always do resist the Holy Ghost." This is his last chance. I believe he knows it. Paul is watching. He's not converted yet. In fact, the boys who are stoning are going to stone Stephen. They left their coats down at Paul's feet and are now ready to stone him. And when they stone people in those days, folks, you know, it wasn't a little wee stones you grab in your hand. These were big, massive things very often. And he confronts them with their sinfulness. And it says in verse 55, after he had preached unto them, that they stopped their ears. And one person, as you go out, wherever you go, you will need to learn to lean, because there will be some. And you mean well, but they will stop their ears. They will stop their ears. I trust that the Lord will have everyone in their niche, whatever it is. Nathan, just like Ernie, my friend, gone to be with the Lord a long time ago. You and I have an opportunity to do what we can today. God willing, throughout the rest of the year. But let's ask the Lord to help us to be those who live a useful and a rewarding life. And I want to finish by saying this. Again, when I look at this and hear it, you have to conclude by saying this. If you're willing to do something for the Lord, He will use what you have now. Not what you want to have, not what your friend has and you wish you had and you don't. But they will use whatever, the Lord will use whatever you give to Him. Over there in the book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 15. I read it says, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab." Now, Ehud here was a man left-handed. And this was, it means to be shot of his right hand. For whatever reason, he couldn't use the right hand. But it's very interesting that if you read chapter 20, it mentions 700 who were left-handed. So the Lord, for a special reason, shows us here He can take that which seems to be, well, maybe of little benefit, maybe not of as much benefit as someone who had liberal hands. And He took them and He used them. And then when He used a good mightily, He can use you. Doesn't want what you hope to have in the future. He doesn't want what your friend has. But He wants you, whether it's preaching or missionary work or anything else in God's work, He wants you to give Him what you have now, because that's how it was with Nathan. Shall walk down the street, he's an older man. Probably not eloquent. Maybe he didn't speak at all. You see, his heart was in the right place. And he took on this job that could have brought great danger to himself, but he did it for the Lord. Very sobering to think there are people in Ukraine doing that right now. People who could have got flown out or driven out, could have been away, but the men who are elders and ministers and pastors, they're thinking, well, this is my charge, I'm not leaving. And they're staying there trying to do what they can. Some of them, physically, it might not go well with them before this is all over. But they're there. Some of them very ordinary. Just like us, doing what they can for the Lord. Nathan, certainly, the next time you read this passage, remember him. He wasn't just an insignificant old man, as mentioned once. He was a great man. Great man who lived a rewarding and a useful life. May the Lord help us all to do that.